Our reading is entitled Jesus, the Bread of Life, and it can be found on page 1070, 1070 of the Church Bibles. And it begins in verse 25 of chapter 6 of John's Gospel. John 6, and beginning at verse 25. Jesus, the Bread of Life. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that way we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never go thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." At this, the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop the grumbling among yourselves," Jesus said. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. As it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Excellent, good. When I asked that question in Uganda, they were more vocal. So I've been spoiled in terms of congregation participation. So I just need you to be a bit louder for me. Good effort. Excellent. Well done, Ellie. Sorry, I've got my bread with me because it's a sermon about bread, so I thought I just need to have some bread to hand. I'm going to confess there's not really much purpose of me carrying this bread around, but I just thought it might just be nice to visualise bread, which, of course, you all know what bread looks like, but here we go. That's what I've gone and done. This is from the post office, just down the road, and it's the finest long life bread that you can buy. So, I'm really excited to eat it after I've been touching it with my hands for ages. So we've been looking at the I am sayings, which are seven sayings in the Gospel of John. And they're really, really cool. They're really important. And they're quite deep, actually. And in fact, they're very controversial. And I think sometimes we forget how controversial they are. Because in the way that we use, you know, the phrase "I am," you know, I'm George, and that's fine, and it's not that crazy. But in the context of Second Temple Judaism, in the context of the time of Jesus, in the context of the Old Testament, it's a really, really controversial thing. And I'm sure people have already mentioned that in the Old Testament, when God reveals himself to Moses, he reveals himself as, "I am that I am." When Moses says, "Well, what shall I tell the people? What shall I tell people that God is called?" His response is, "You tell the people, I am sent you. I am that I am." In the Hebrew, the phrase is "Ahyeh asher ahyeh." And I just thought I'd show off a little bit. I got 43% in my Hebrew exam at university, so I just scraped a pass, but I'm going to show off anyway. But it's a really controversial phrase, and it's very controversial then for Jesus to use the same phrase in the context that he does in John, these seven different phrases. I am, I am, I am. And it's an interesting phrase anyway, because in the context of Moses, people were worshipping idols. They were worshipping things. I need some assistance, I think. Jonah, up you get. Come on. People were worshipping idols, you know, things made out of wood or stone that they called God. And this was everywhere. Even the Israelites had done it in that context. A load of people, they worshipped gods as idols. Can you pretend to be an idol for me? Just great. Great. And just stay like that. Stay. Don't move. Don't move. Because idols don't move. They have no life. They're just wood and stone, and they kind of do their thing. They're objects. They're objects. They exist. They're real, but they're not real. They're not alive. They're just the wood and the stone. Why did you choose that particular? No, I don't think you do. But you know, you look strong. And so when God said, "No, stay. I'm not done with you. Come back. Stay around. Great. Just don't move. Just stay. You don't have to do that pose, but Great. So when God responds, you tell them, my name is I am that I am. My name is Ayir Asher Ayir. What he's saying is I'm uncontainable in a name. You can't contain me in a name. I'm beyond that. You can't contain me as an object. And it's funny because often we translate it as a noun, this title, I am that I am. And actually, if we translate it as a verb, it becomes, I will be, howsoever I will be. And it's suddenly, if we take away the idea that it's a noun and we begin translating it as a verb instead, what God is even saying is that I'm not even an object. This is the ultimate anti-idolatry. I'm not even an object. Jonah is an object. Come here to let the people see you more clearly. Jonah is an object. You can poke him. You can touch his hair. You can prod him. You can, you know, talk to him. We can have a conversation, can't we? Excellent. And he's an object. And what God is saying is that God is saying, I am not like Jonah. I'm not an object, isn't it? Great. You can go now. I'm going to get complaints from him later. Let's give him a round of applause. Well done. Well done. That was payback. God is saying, what? Just the beginning. We've got years more to go. God is saying, I'm not an object. I'm not an object. And so when Jesus then comes about and says, I am, and he uses that phrase, that title, it's suddenly really mind-blowing. Because Jesus is using something which, you know, monotheism is the idea that, you know, there is one God. And in monotheism, the idea is that you can't see God because you know, God is not an object and there's only one. God is really far away and beyond us. And then Jesus is saying, I am. He's using that phrase. He's saying this thing which, you know, which is not material to claim himself as being that God that's not made out of material. And he just completely short circuits and you know, our idea about what God looks like and what God is like. He loves to mess up our thinking, Jesus. He loves to mess up the way that we conceive God. Because we've thought for a long time that God was like a particular thing, and then Jesus comes and says, I am. I am. And what does he say? I am bread. That's a really ridiculous thing for him to say. Of all the things that he could have said, I am the king of the world. He could have said, I am, you know, better than Caesar. He could have said, I am the gold of the world. Or he could have said, but he goes, I am bread. I am bread. If you're God, if I was God, I would not liken myself to bread because it's quite boring, really. It's a little bit every day. We've seen it before lots of times. We butter it every morning, and he says, I am bread. I am bread. That's a bit ridiculous. I would have used different phrasing if I was God, but it's probably good that I'm not. Jesus is telling us that, A, he is the unnamed God given a name. He's telling us that he is the God that is beyond being an object, as an object. And at the same time, he's telling us he's beyond all of that as well. And I like to think of Jesus as being like, if you imagine a ship that's sunk in the bottom of an ocean, and you know it's filled with water because it's a ship that's sunk in the middle of the ocean, completely filled with water. But there's also water completely beyond it and around it, and the sea is massive, the ocean is massive. And Jesus is a little bit like that, and this is a little bit like the claim that he's making. He's saying, I am, but it also stretches far, 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 far beyond the 3 years of ministry that he had, and far, 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 far beyond. Jesus is massive. I've said this again and again because I really believe it. The Christ is huge. Jesus is huge. And by saying I am, he is signifying how big he really is. Because he's saying, if you look back at Moses, if you look back at the entire Old Testament, if you look into the future, everything that was, everything that is, everything that's coming, I am. I am massive. I am massive. I am bread. Yeah, it's funny. It is. And I wonder whether some of them laughed at him as well when he said it. Because it's a really controversial thing. I am this huge thing. I am the God of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, a piece of bread. A piece of bread. Earlier we said that a little bit of like the idea that God is more of like a verb, like a happening, an event, an occurrence, in the way that he presents himself to Moses. And it's like, I also like to think of God being like a party, because put your hand up if you've been to a party. Excellent. We've all been to parties. When you were at the party, did you know that you were at a party? Yeah, excellent. You know that you're at a party. A party, though, is not an object, is it? I can't pick something up and say this is a party. I can't do that. But we know that parties exist. We know that you're at a party, and there's music, and there's dancing, and there's food, and there's some really, you know, there's great things. And you know that you're there. You know that the party is real because you're experiencing the party. But we can't point at it like we can point at Jonah and say that is a party. I think a little bit when God presents himself to Moses as I will be howsoever I shall be, he's a little bit saying, I'm a party. Come and experience me. You can't physically touch me. You know, you could go to Mars and you won't find something that you could point and go, this is God. You could go to the edges of the universe, and it's not like God is sitting there floating on a planet, kind of waiting for us. But you know that God is happening. You know that we know that there is God because we experience God. And then Jesus comes and says, I am, because he is the party. He is the party, made flesh, given a name, given to the world. And this party is bread. We're going back to the bread. When we were in Uganda, because I've got to mention it, obviously, because you can't go somewhere and not talk about it for the next 6 months, which is what you're going to get. So, you know, brace yourselves. When I was in Uganda, they have this thing called matoke. I can just see people who've been to Uganda look at me like, oh, matoke. And this other thing called posho as well. And they're both these really starchy, fillers. And it's a little bit like bread. It doesn't have much flavor, but they add sauces and they add things to flavor it. And it is a lifesaver. Matoke and posho. It's the staple. They have it with every single meal. And often it's the same meal every day. And for me, that was really eye-opening because I, if you know me, you know that I love fad diets. And I love to kind of, you know, go low-carb 1 week. And I love to go, you know, vegetarian and vegan for a month. And I love to just kind of try out different things and shop at Whole Foods, and have quinoa and that kind of thing. And so it's a shock to the system when you go somewhere where every day it's the same starch, the same filler food. But it's a lifesaver. It's the thing that keeps you going. You need it. And if you don't have it, there's not much you can do. You can't survive. In Jesus' culture, in Jesus' society, they were a little bit like some, you know, people who are still around today, who are unlike us, not quite as privileged and lucky as us, who need to eat the same basic thing every day in order to survive. When Jesus is saying, I am bread, he is saying, this God, this hugeness, this, you know, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the beginning, the present and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, you need me to survive. You need me. You need to relate to me like with desperation. Because I am your food. I am your food. I think the way we relate to food in this country makes us not get this. But if you're having to strive every day in order to be able to afford that little bit those couple of bananas to make into matoke or a little bit of maize to make into your food, you will start knowing what this means, the desperation we need to have God. I am the bread of life. And it's funny because when I was, you know, considering this and considering, you know, the way that Jesus kind of, speaks about this in the context of somewhere like Uganda, you realize how deep it is that, you know, the thing exactly that Jesus is saying, because he's speaking to people who are a little bit more like them than like us. When he's saying, I am the bread of life and whoever comes to me will never see hunger or thirst, he's saying that to people who are every day experiencing hunger and thirst. He's saying, I'm the answer. I am the answer. And I wonder whether alongside it he also meant that if you live the Jesus way, if you come to me, if you live according to the lifestyles I've given you, whether actually God's justice comes and there will be bread as well to eat. Because there's not enough right now. Because we go to places and you see people who have to struggle to eat really basic things and then you read this and it just shocks your system. When he says, if you come to me, you will never hunger or thirst. To people who are hungry and thirsty. And if we're willing to live the Jesus way and to accept that he is the bread of life. And to accept that we get to also be the bread of life to people. A load of problems could be solved. But often we don't. Because I think we haven't realized what it means that Jesus is our bread of life. And once we start understanding what it means that Jesus is our bread of life, we begin to be bread to others. We need to be desperate for him. The other thing about bread that I really like is that you eat it. Obviously, it's not just for show. And we have bread at communion and we have it for breakfast and stuff. But don't you think it's quite peculiar that Jesus says, I am something that you then eat? Like, it's a bit of a weird thing, and it's something that I've always struggled with, even at communion. And I grew up Catholic, and that was something that freaked me out for ages. Eating Jesus. Well, that's a bit weird. What am I, a cannibal? Is that what I am? Lots of existential questions. But it's something we eat, and there's a lot of really cute babies around the church at the moment. And sometimes you hear people say, they look at a baby and they, I could just eat you up. That's a weird thing that we do as well. I could just eat you up. Clearly you're not going to do that because that would be illegal. But we do. And you see, I wonder whether there's something about Not just that we need to, work really hard for bread, but actually we need, there's something about bread being inside of us. There's something about us as humans. When we love, we just want more and more of the person that we love. And actually it's like this thing of when you're hugging someone and you really love the person that you're hugging and you want more of them and you just can't get more of them. Exactly. Oh, that was a lovely... Oh, you look embarrassed. We just had a teenage son getting hugged. That's like the worst thing that can happen to you if you're a teenage boy, getting hugged by mum. but you want more and more of them, and you just can't. And there's a limit of how much you can consume someone that you love. When Jesus says, treat me like bread, I am the bread of life, whoever eats me will live forever. He's saying that this love that you're looking for in the people around you, this is something I've learned quite recently, and I've fallen in love with it. This love that you're looking for, that you just can't quite get with the people around you, you get fully in him because you get to eat him. He is the bread of life, and that love is completely satisfied in Jesus, in this person. Not only do we need him to survive, not only is he bread for us to live day by day, but also far, far, far more than that, he completely satisfies us. When you love somebody, they are your world. They are your everything. They completely, they take it over. And Jesus is saying, you can have all of me. I am. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am Alpha. I am Omega. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. I am God. And you get to have all of me. You get to have all of me. And not just to the limits of human relationships, but far, far, far deeper. It's very, very special. when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, he's completely messing up our perspective of how much we can relate to God. He's challenging the way that we approach God as something that's far off and far away. And he's saying, no, you can touch me, you can have me, you can consume me. I am here, I'm among you, I'm with you. And he's, you know, God is an object. He can't be limited. But in Jesus, we see the fullness of God. And in the Christ, we relate fully to God. And he's both this and that at the same time. He is both completely unnameable, completely unattainable, completely beyond anything that we could conceive, but at the same time, fully, completely, and utterly approachable, and we're completely able to relate to him. He's both beyond and completely, completely, completely within. This is the miracle. This is the miracle of Christianity, and just the reason why this quote, this phrase is so, you know, mind-blowing is because we get the privilege of relating to God in a way that is just almost impossible. It just makes no sense. It just makes no sense. I often have lots of conversations with people who say that they don't believe in God, and often I ask them, you know, well, can you describe the God that you don't believe in? And I often kind of go, well, I don't believe in that God either. And you know, sometimes, you know, I think we make the mistake of describing God to people who don't have faith in ways that isn't really helpful, which makes them, because we live in the modern age, right, and for something to exist and be real, we have to be able to touch it and measure it and put it in a magnifying glass and send, you know, shoot it up into Mars or whatever. But when we begin to describe God in terms of, you know, being beyond object, but also completely within Jesus, I think it starts to make more sense. I know that it did for me. And we just get this privilege of having the fullness of God, and he describes himself as bread. I don't know how you're relating to God today. I don't know how you're approaching God today. I don't know what your relationship with God is like. And for me, I've spent years and years and years and years kind of like pleading with God and just, you know, chasing God and pursuing God and being like, God, I just need you and I haven't got you, and always feeling like I was short of having the fullness of God. And then one day it clicks that God is like a piece of bread and you can eat him up. Yeah. And so my challenge for you today is ask him. Ask him to be your bread of life. Ask him to be your bread of life. Seek him in that way. Just say, God, you've already said that I can come to you and I won't go hungry. So will you show me what it looks like to come to you and not leave hungry? We have everything that we need. He's fully given himself to us. We don't need to work anymore. We don't need to pursue. We don't need to plead. We don't need to beg. He's there. He's bread that on the cross was broken for us. And it's completely given, free of charge, there for the taking, for us to be able to relate to him completely and fully. Let's just close our eyes for a sec. God, we're really sorry for the times when we've underestimated your love for us, where we thought that we had to do things in order to get you to love us, where we've had images of you that are more based around things we've experienced on earth than what you've promised that you're like. Would you show us, God, how you are our bread of life? Would you show us how you are the one that sustains us? Would you show us how we need you so desperately? But would you also show us, really in our hearts, how we've already completely got you? And we just invite you afresh to come inside of us, Jesus, that you would abide within us, that you would live inside of us. Come, Holy Spirit, and show us his love for us. And what Ellie was saying earlier about love is so important, because sometimes we think that God's love is like he's doing us, like he begrudgingly loving us, or that he really doesn't want to love us, but you know he's kind of chosen to. And that's just not what God looks like. God is our romancer. He's our Valentine. He's our lover. And it is his joy to love you. He rejoices over you. He's singing songs about you. Jeremiah says it, or Zechariah, one of the prophets. He's singing songs about you. He rejoices over you with singing. He loves you. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do to get him to love you less. So come and take this bread, this spiritual bread. Come to his feast. Come to his party. Be surrounded by him like an ocean. He loves you. Amen.